said at least I could remember.
Holly, you graduated, you say, with a class of 26 people.
Yes. Right?
Do you have any idea how many of that group of 26 went on to get more education?
I wish I had their names here. I think quite a few, over half, even if they did not graduate from college, they attended school. They probably went for a year. They went to a technology school. When I say technology, I mean nurses education. There was a great secretary of school in Durham at that time. They went to that school. I think they realized that to get a good job, we needed higher education. Out of our group, three or four went to AMT. Three or four went to Central. One went to Hampton. And several went to law enforcement services. And when they were discharged from the Army, they went on to college. And we didn't know it. We wouldn't know anything about it. They would come back and say, I bet you don't know what I did. You know, at the reunion, we found out they did graduate from a school or technical college. Or even received higher training because they got to be brick masons or chefs or something.
Is it fair to say that there was a brain drain in the black community, the African-Americans who went to Lincoln and then got more education left this area and
yes,
by and large because they couldn't get work here?
Yes.
I don't want to put words in your mouth.
But that's true. And a lot stayed here at the university. They got great jobs at the university. Yes.
Can you tell me about that?
Oh, boy, I wish I could remember. I worked at the university while I was in college. I served patients at night. You know, they'd fix trays and take the trays to the patient's rooms. And some people stayed here since the hospital had been open that long. Kevin had been open. We had the infirmary. The students had, UNC students had the infirmary, and they went to the infirmary to work for high school. Some would stay, and they would get into these positions, you know, supervisory positions, because they had worked there a certain time as a secretary, as a food server, even in landscaping, maintenance, yard maintenance, or something at the university. So that was their career. So
some did stay on.
Yes.
But was it a minority or a majority?
I would really have to look at my ideas because I don't want to be anyone. The majority went on to seek higher education. When I say that, I'm training school, on the job training. College.
But some did get work and did stay here at the university.
Yes, they did. Yes.
And the women you're saying in nursing or supervisor, eventually supervisory,
yes,
roles at the university. Not janitorial work.
No, they did janitorial work too. At that time, the janitors, when I was small, the janitors would sign in. My father would have to sign in. Near Emerson, the old Emerson Field. They had an office there where all the janitors would meet in the morning. And they would have a white supervisor. He would assign them, you go to this building today, you go to that building. And if they were late, he would chastise them. They had a way of making men feel below themselves. So you can't work today and things like that. They had a lot of authority that had an impact on grown black men.
To put them down?
To put them down. Boy, using that term. And during that time, I was very young. So sometimes, in some instances, you were told, not told, just sit down, I don't guess. I want you, my family, I want my child to have a better life than I have. I don't want him to work for the university. I don't want him to stay in Chattanooga. I don't want him or she to have to go into service and families. There was a lot of service workers at that time.
Domestic.
I've done it for all my life. I know how I've been treated. I want my child to have a better life.
That's a terrible place to stop and a great place to stop, but I have to, I know that we lost an hour here.
Right.
And I would like to talk to you again and hear more about a number of things.
Now I'll have to bring back a lot of old things so I can remember.
Well, that would be fine. I want to talk about the activities at the high school, the sports, the band,
right.
Chorus, acting, any other activities that went on there.
The drama club.
And also you had just started to talk about the way people were treated who were domestic workers. I'd like to hear more about that. But we'll schedule something for it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good morning, Polly.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Just fine.
But I wanted to spend the next hour or so talking to you about Lincoln High School. I'm just going to open it and let you talk, and if you want to stop and think for a while, I can jump in with more specific questions. So tell me about Lincoln.
That'll help a lot. I think we've talked about Mr. McDougall, but not so much about the other teachers, except the teachers, most of them came from other places, other homes, and they stayed in the community. They roomed either about homes eventually, or their children attended school there. They were great teachers. They had been educated at some of the best black colleges. And they brought an experience to Lincoln that enabled us and probably prompted us to do the best we could do. Especially with a French English teacher from Shaw University, M.D. Turner, Mrs. Turner. She pushed us and pushed us and pushed us. We had to read and learn about Beowulf, Macbeth. She was also in charge of the drama department. Each year we put on a fabulous production that parents and everyone paid to attend. The costumes, the lighting on that very small stage at Lincoln was outstanding to me. One of the best productions I can remember is the night of January the 26th, where the audience was polled and they brought different people up on beside the stage and they had a jury. It was a trial, murder trial. And we didn't know how the end would be. We had to practice two endings because the jury would say, you know, give the verdict. And then another one she put on with three people, Mary Louise Stroud Worth, Alicia Burchett, and I can't remember. It was just three people or four in this production about the war or something. It was outstanding. So she did this. She taught there a long time. And she did this every year. We also had a science teacher. Of course, we didn't have a science table and a science lab. But she came from Greensboro. I can't remember the college. But she taught science. You know, we did a lot with these large charts that hung on the walls. And we would do simple experiments, but she would teach us as best she could. We had a small library. We went to the library every week, check out books. And we were taught the system, the duodecimal system. We didn't just spend time sitting. We had to partake in book discussions and learn all about the using the dictionary, the encyclopedias and things, so it was a class, amount of time just to come and sit. We had a math teacher, R.O. Carnegie, that liked to embarrass us as we were leaving sometimes with these questions like, what is pi? He was also the football coach. He was here for a long time. He was from Durham. His wife was also an elementary teacher. Gosh. We had outstanding teachers. Of course, we didn't have anything to compare it to, so we thought that they were great. And I still think that to today. I hate that I missed someone. We had the drama club, the safety patrol. The safety patrol consisted of people that had a good average because they would leave the classroom 5 minutes before the bell sounded for the classes to change. Since it was a small hall, we were taught to walk to our right. The safety patrols would come out 5 minutes, put on their white belts, and if they weren't duty that week, they would wear a blue skirt and a blue sweater. They would put on these white belts and stand in the hall, and you had to flow, the traffic had to flow just like we drive today. Go into certain classrooms, go around and stuff, and save the patrol. Save the patrol also had the power to turn in names to teachers of people that did not follow the rules. I remember the safety patrol at another high school, Hillside. They always went to Washington. Unfortunately, we never had a chance to do that, but we were proud of our safety patrol. Okay, we had the social studies club. That was definitely a club that was, that you joined according to your grade. You could not make less than a B. Mrs. M.D. Fulford was a social studies teacher, also from the show, and the basketball, the ladies' basketball coach.
What was her name again, Molly?
Her name was Milton D. Fulford. She came the year that I was a freshman. She was the prettiest one, and statuette, I don't know what you want to call her. She was just a nice looking lady, and we were proud to be in her home. The other teachers I spoke about were nice looking also, but when Miss Fulford came in right out of college, that was very exciting.
So she wasn't an old teacher, she was closer
fresh
to your
out
age.
Of college, yes, closer to our ages.
Were most of the teachers older? Had some experience teaching?
Most of the teachers had some experience. She's about to, well, I have to say this, but most of them had experience. I can remember hers coming first year out of college. And since we were with her in the homeroom for 4 years, that's how I can remember her story.
So you had the same homeroom teacher for 4 years?
Yes.
But you walked to different classes?
We walked to different classes. We would go to homeroom for 10 or 15 minutes. We would have attendance. We would have daily devotions, prayers, Bible verses, and songs. And then it would be time to change and go to the different classes.
How big was your homeroom? How many students did you have?
We had one of the smaller classes at Lincoln at that time. I guess there were about 30-35 students in my homeroom. 29 of us graduated.
Was there a problem with attendance, or did most of the students get to school all right every day?
Most of the students arrived on time, even the ones that came on buses. Since I live right on Church Street, I was just walking distance from the school, just a few steps from the school. But we had a lot of students coming in on buses. The buses usually were on time. The only person I can remember being late was Ed
Conway. He wrote a paragraph about sneaking into the school, which is really funny.
He lived closer than I. And our classroom was located on the side where you could see the ball, the place that we had recess and played football and other activities. You could look out the window and see Ed coming across this field. And everybody in the school would know that he was late.
Now, did anybody pick that up? Didn't the principal greet you at the door some days?
Some days, yes. Many days. Most of the time he was on duty. He was on duty.
Meaning he was there?
Meaning he was there.
Right.
He was there.
But Ed was able to slip by him?
Sure, Ed would come. I don't know. I'm thinking that Mr. McDougal was in his office, which was on the other side of the hall. But we could see, if you were on the right side, in the right classroom, you could see him coming. So since this was near the beginning of the school day, and I'm sure Mr. McDougal had to do his reports, things like that, and he probably had a student help or something to watch to see who was late. It was primarily left up to the teachers to turn in late, tardy records. So I don't know what.
What time did school begin?
Oh my goodness, now that is digging deep. Because I asked someone that a little while ago. They said we had to be there at 8.
And how long did school run?
Until 3:30.
You had mentioned some clubs, drummer club, safety patrol, drama club, social studies. You had band. Was band a club also?
Band was a class. Mr. Pickett was the band leader. He was from Winston-Salem. I think he graduated from Winston-Salem State. When he came there, he recruited certain students that could possibly afford instruments. Many instruments were purchased through the school, and students that had this musical talent would go to him and have classes. And I don't know anything else, but since I did not, you know, go in the band room or anything, I don't know how if he would go to each class and say who was interested. I don't know how he chose the band members, but my brothers played drums and several of my classmates were in the band. I think about 5 or 6.
Now, the drummer club, was that part of Mr. Pickard's class?
The drummer club?
Yes.
No, that was part of Mrs. Turner, the French-English teacher, the drummer club.
And when did they perform?
They performed in the spring.
Did they go to the football games also, or not?
The drama club. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was drama or it's drummer?
No, drama.
Drama,
D-R-A-M-A, the drama club.
Oh, I got
it. I know this southern accent. It's very slow. But since we mentioned the drama club, they performed in the spring, but they also would go to drama festivals. I went to one, which was at Shaw University. High schools from throughout the state were invited. They were to present a one-act play. And during that time, they would be given grades or ratings, you know, the best, and get trophies or some other certificate, something to let them know the best play. And they would have judges. And this was in addition to Mrs. Turner teaching English and French. And this club met after school. They would sit in their chairs and rehearse their parts, go over them, do the presentations. So they put on this one-act play in addition to this three-act play that they put on in the spring.
How did they fare at the Shaw in these festivals and competitions?
Sometimes they came in first place, sometimes they came in second place. But when you can compare Lincoln to the largest schools that performed, I think Lincoln was outstanding.
So they often won awards there?
They often won awards, outstanding performers. I can't remember the plays were in certain categories or just one-act plays. Basketball, football. We also had class teams in addition to the school team. At lunchtime, we could go into the gym and watch the 10th grade play the 9th grade, or the 9th grade play the 10th grade. And that would end up also in a tight tournament session at the end of the basketball season. So that way, not only did the best players get to play, who did not participate in the class roster, I guess, according to my memory. You would also have other students that could play ball and participate.
Was the gym constantly being used during
the gym was the used during the day, yes, because we also had a May Day presentation each May, and the gym had to be used for that rehearsal. We had glee clubs, choral groups, and had to be used at that time. Some practices, many practices, were during the school day in the teacher's classroom for maybe 20 minutes, and a lot of activities were after school.
Was the choral club a class, or was it a club?
It was a group of students that were chosen to sing. I don't know the process since I didn't belong to that. I can't sing, can't talk.
You're doing great, come on.
I don't know, but some of the people you've talked to were in these choral groups. They would also put on a performance. They would also sing at graduation. The band would play. the band would march. The band would march. In the beginning, basketball players had to buy their own shorts. We went to Burma once to buy them. Basketball players bought their own shorts. The school PTA, I guess, raised money for the shirts. And then we raised enough money later, before I graduated, for uniforms, proper basketball uniforms. But in the beginning, back in 48, 49, players, I remember buying their own shorts. When the band first started, they also provided their uniforms. The majorette costumes were made by parents under direction of Miss Pope, who was a home economics teacher, who also graduated from Shaw. If you've ever read or heard about the Delaney sisters, you can imagine what type of university Shaw was and the type of students that they sent out into the world of teaching. Miss Pope was a home economics.
Tell me about the Delaney sisters and the quality. Obviously, you're proud of that heritage. Can you share that with me?
Wish I could remember. The Delaney sisters, who just died recently, were in their 90s when they decided to write a book. The book was about their life from the time of their birth until they moved. They were living in New York. They talked about Shaw because their father worked at Shaw. I can't remember if he was president or whatever they called him at that time. I can't remember because it's been several years since I read it. But the book was so popular that they turned it into a play. The play came here about 3 years ago. University. And, they had in the book about Shaw University and how the influence of their father and this. They were taught to be young, proud, black ladies. Story about the train line. Plus, they had in there some of the things that happened to black women at that time, black men also. Well, it was an outstanding book from my perspective. I mean, they just, this person was just doing an interview with them like you're doing. And decided to write little excerpts that they talked about. They were never married. They always lived together. And they carried themselves with such grace.
I remember reading about them in the newspaper. I knew there was a big article on
right.
Well into their 90s.
So Miss Pope was from Raleigh, from Shaw University. Miss Pope, unfortunately, just died a few months ago. She had this air about her. She taught us manners. She taught us etiquette. She taught us about how to set a table, even using a napkin. She also was the first person to run the cafeteria, even though she was a home economist. Cafeteria was built down the hill. She was in charge of the cafeteria. And sometimes she would send certain girls down to work an hour. And she would go down. And they had an adult there also. But the first cafeteria I can remember had sandwiches, soup and sandwiches. And then the next one we had full course meals. I remember that potato machine. Never seen a machine peeling potatoes. But this was, we like to go to the cafeteria because that means that we could leave class. But she would name two people to go to the cafeteria, you know. But it was also still based on your behavior and your grades, which they really, you know.
Were there other clubs that you can recall, Molly?
Let me insert this about Miss Pope while we're talking. Miss Pope and her sister, who was a librarian at North Carolina Central University in Durham, both retired, but they lived in a house not far from Shaw University. They both refused to sell that house. It is standing. It has been put on the National Archives. Their father was a doctor, a dentist. His nameplate is still on the front door. The original floors, it's just outstanding to see. There are parking lots on both sides where people have sold their property. Their own house is standing in Raleigh right now. I mean, it's outstanding. To keep that house, I'm sure it wasn't planned, but they refused to sell.
And they probably could have sold it at great profit.
Great profit. Just, they're right there, right downtown.
Fascinating.
It is. So it was great to have there as a teacher.
Do you think they held on to it because the history was so important to them? Or were there other reasons for them?
I wish I could tell you. I don't know. Did have a special person. Maybe I could get in touch with her and see if she said anything, talked to Miss Pope about the house. But Miss Pope reminds me of one of the Delaney sisters.
Sounds
okay.
Like it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall how big the entire school was? How many students were in the whole school? Any kind of guesstimate?
Do you mean the high school?
Yeah, the high school, which
high
is 9th through 12th grade.
9th through 12th grade. During my time, those were 4 years. I knew the class ahead of me was one of the largest classes. They had two sections. They probably had about, had to have over 60 students. And the class ahead of them probably had maybe 30 students. More than that.
So the high school?
So the high school probably knew a small class. Probably had 200 students.
And what years?
This was from 40. 48 to 52.
Were there any rituals that you remember? Any things that you already mentioned one, and that is that the safety patrol and everybody walking on the right side in the hallways and being reported. Were there other rituals at the school that you can remember?
We had assembly every Friday. All the classes would come in to assembly. And during that time, there would be also class plays. Each class, you know, would put on a performance. So the glee club would sing. A parent would speak. Sometimes we'd even have a dentist, a magic show. But every Friday, we would begin this assembly with a song and a prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer was one of the outstanding songs. You hear the blend of those voices to me. Still sends chills when I hear it. Don't hear it that often now, but it was just great to hear them sing this again. Other rituals, the May Day performance. that was a fun race. I don't know if you're calling that a mutual event, but it was something that was held every spring. We wrapped a maypole, and we'd have a spring queen and a king, a procession. During this time, they would have a little production, wrap the maypole, and do different activities. And after that, they would have a ball game. So we had to do a lot of money raising because things were not purchased at that time, like drapes, curtains for the stage, bus. We had also, we borrowed a bus. We rented a bus to go on basketball, football trips, and that had to be paid. We also, when other basketball teams or football teams came to play, mostly football, we would feed them before the meal, before the game. That had to be paid for. Of course, they would do the same when our teams went to their schools. They were football players.
That had to be fair, huh?
Yes.
BP. Can you tell me about the prom?
Oh, the prom. The prom was a way of raising money to leave a gift to the school, like a speaker system, a record player, a piano, or instrument for the band. It was held every spring. The juniors would sponsor it. They would raise the money. The seniors were invited. And the 10th graders would serve. This was also held in the gym. It had to be decorated. Always, some of the money raised was used for the decorations. We would like to get that ball, the mirror-type ball that would put little bubbles around the room. Everybody wanted that ball at the top of the ceiling. We rented it from a firm in Durham. And they would decorate it with different things, class colors, Hawaii, beach time, and everybody was dressed to the 10th, to the 9th, to the 12th. You had to have a new formal gown, silver or gold shoes, and jewelry. It would probably last from 9 to 12. And parents were invited. We had parents, lots of chaperones.
So parents came with their children?
Parents came with their children. Some danced, some sat around, but there would be seats all around the auditorium.
Did they come formal also?
They were dressed, but not formal. When I say formal, I mean during this time, the girls dressed. And I think the fellas ran in tuxedos. I have to go back to look at my prom picture. They did have on white coats. I remember the white jackets, but I think they had tuxedos, not sure, or dark suits. But it was a dressed-up occasion.
And you say that the 10th graders served.
Served.
And the 11th graders sponsored this?
Sponsored.
And who could attend? Excuse me.
Invited to 12th graders.
So 11th and 12th graders came, or did the whole school come?
No, just 11th and 12th graders.
Just
and just a few 10th graders that would serve. The junior teachers were in charge of the program. Now, as far as bringing someone from another school, to my recollection, you had to get permission from Mr. McDougall. Very seldom did someone come from another school. Yes. and no one that had graduated could come. This was a school within the school affair. You have to talk to those people that probably invited some cousins or from other towns, but I can only remember somebody coming one time from Hillsboro. I was so busy dancing, gosh.
Who played the music?
I can't remember.
So
I really
the band
can't
didn't
remember.
Play the school
Not
band?
The school band. Yeah. If we had a band, it was, probably probably a local band.
Or a DJ?
Maybe a DJ. Well, I really have to dig the thing. Who played at the park? Let's talk about this summer.
So that was once a year, every spring?
Every spring.
You had your prom?
Yes, we had a program.
What
we had souvenirs. Oh, the program would give the theme and also the names of the seniors and the names of the children. I do have a program. It is somewhere.
Good. I'd love to see it.
Right. We had a program. They didn't have a program from 1930 or 20.
Could I copy it? The show?
Sure, if I can find them. I'm making you so many promises.
Well,
I'm
going to hold you to all of it,
Okay. Oh.
So you had a theme and program. Did you have any performers at the prom?
No. Really.
Can you tell me about the football games? Were there any rituals that went on at the football games that you can remember? Anything that the team did that was special, or the fans did that was special? You had cheerleaders?
We had cheerleaders, and I can remember going to Emerson Field. The majority of the games were played on UNC's campus, Emerson Field. And we had to pay to get in, but I just can't remember or anything about the rituals. I'm sure they started out with the Pledge of Allegiance, probably singing of the national anthem.
Did the players come out through a banner with smoke or anything like that?
I wish I could remember. I don't think that I attended any football games until I was in the 10th or 11th grade.
Did most of the students who were in the high school go to the games?
Most of them.
Parents?
Parents, yes. I mean, how could we have used Emerson Field, if they didn't participate? They had good participation. Great.
A lot of people.
A lot of people were there, and people from the opponents. They would also come. They had cheerleaders and bands and other things. I don't remember anything like halftime show.
Did you get dressed up for the games?
No, most of the games, not what you mean by dressed up. We just wore school clothes for the game.
Did the white community come out to see the...
We have a few. Mm-hmm.
Now, did they change where they played the games from Emerson Field later?
Sometimes they would play at the school, at the site, Lincoln. Because I remember the guys going out there marking off the field with those white lines. And I remember the park in Carver. I can't remember football up there, but I remember where on the white oak the memories are okay. There was a field, it was baseball. We played a few games out there. You know, during homecoming, there was a ritual. We always had a homecoming parade. And the band was so good. When I was talking about the uniforms a little while ago, I'm trying to think of their first uniforms. Oh, I think it was white pants and white shirts and ties. And the band was... The drums would draw the crowd, and kids would do like they're doing now. They would follow the band from the school, because they would go from the school to home before it dismissed. Traffic was in his band. We had floats. We had other marching groups. We had bands from other places. The homecoming was a special.
Did you have any parties after homecoming?
I'm sure they did. I don't know. No. I was not able to attend those parties after that. My parents had five children. The boys probably went to the after party. Like that, but the girls went on.
So they were pretty strict with the girls?
Yes. No, I wouldn't call it strict. They just, yes, they were strict. Man, the girls and the boys, they were strict with the boys also. They participated in the Boy Scouts. We participated in the Brown, the Girl Scouts. The boys could go to camp. And this was not through the school system. This was, I think it was sponsored by, I knew we would meet sometime after school, the boys, and sometimes we would meet at the community center, my boys' community center. But I don't know. But the boys could go up to camp. We could go to camp. They would spend a week in camp. This has come up recently. I don't know if this is school organization, just parents in the community. Very active.
Was the school used for anything else other than school? Did the community use it?
I can't remember. I don't think it was. I only remember going to PTA. I don't think the schools were used much for social activities.
Did you have an auditorium at the school?
Yes, that's where we played basketball.
Oh, so the auditorium and the gym were the same?
Were the same. There were three poles right in the middle of the auditorium. And classrooms had, some of the classrooms had pulled down walls. And they would open these walls during the basketball game so you could sit in the classroom. But everybody teased us about these three poles right in the basketball floor.
Some
people said they were two and I said they were three. But they were to our advantage. We used those poles when we played. We knew how to go around them and avoid them and things like that. At that time, we played basketball. There was half court. Women played half court basketball. So we would hug those poles, you know. And we knew how to drive around them, drive as far as getting to the basket. So it was to our advantage.
Was that your sport?
Basketball. Yes,
basketball.
I played basketball.
Did you play for the high school?
For high school. Yeah, only high schoolers could play team basketball.
How many years did you play?
Four.
Did you start all 4 years?
Probably didn't start all 4 years, but eventually I was a starter. Remember on the other tape I talked about Atwater Gym. My father put a basketball goal in our backyard. So I sort of had the advantage of having my own gym. And we would play basketball. We would play with the boys. We could play until dark. Then we had to come inside. But my girlfriends also played. And I can name the ones that came to Atwater Gym. And many of them were starters on the basketball team.
So it really helped.
Yes, it helped.
Having that
Atwater Gym.
How good was the team?
The team was outstanding. With the talent we had, we thought we were right up there with the best.
Did you win any titles?
I can't remember winning any titles, but we always went to a tournament. And I don't know if that was based on our play or the number of games we won during the season, or this was just a culmination of the season. But we would have a tournament.
Are there any other things that stand out in your mind about the school? Any physical attributes of the school that besides the poles and the gym?
Well, the boiler room.
Tell me about
the boiler room. I think that part of has been torn down now. I can remember when they added some classrooms on the end of the school. The back part is still standing. It's the Northside Senior Citizens building now, and our cafeteria is being used by mental health, Orange County Mental Health, I believe, the present site. But the park that was torn down held the classrooms and the gym. It was a tall building. I have a picture of it. And I've also placed that picture in the town hall. That picture shows that it was had steps at the front. So the building was built with two floors. But only one side could be used. And if you're looking from it toward the front of the building, that would be the left side. And there were one or two classrooms in the so-called basement of the school. I remember one class there. I can just remember one. There were probably two classrooms down there, and then the boiler room.
This is Northside or Lincoln?
Oh, this is old Lincoln High School, Northside Senior Citizen Place over on Caldwell Street. And the boiler room was the place, of course, that they had the coal, fire the boiler, put coal in, and things like that. That was also a place for punishment. The guys would be sent down in it to the boiler room to think about what they had done, you know? Just think about it. And while you're thinking about it, you can put a little shovel full or two of coal in there. I never went down there, so you have to talk to the guys about it. But I do remember passing it because my class was down there when I was in the sixth grade.
Did you have lockers at the gym, or did you have lockers at the school at Lincoln?
Not to my knowledge.
And if you took gym class, did you have showers afterwards there to wash off?
No.
Did you have a pool at the school?
A pool?
Yes.
What kind of pool? Now the water would stand when it rained in the parking lots. No pool. Sometimes people want to know why some blacks excel in basketball. All it takes is a goal in the basketball. But to skate, or to play tennis, or to play golf, more is involved financially. So if men did as my father did, put a basketball in the reach of a child and gave him a father, he has some great possibilities. That's all it took.
A number of people I've interviewed regarding Lincoln, when talking about Mr. McDougall, begin by saying he was a strict disciplinarian.
He was.
And I wondered if you could expound on that. Why was that important, and how did he show his discipline?
Have you heard of Joe Clark?
No.
Okay.
Joe Clark.
Okay. There's a movie out about Joe Clark.
Right.
Just like the Delaney sister. But anyway, his walk, his talk, his demeanor, his voice, all of that. And this was necessary at that time, I think, because we were still in the spanking stage. People believe the children should be taught by the rule, using the rule, either in their hands or in their legs. So it hadn't been too long ago where punishment was really physically. We did not always have physical punishment out of school. You walk around with a stick, as Joe Clark did, but his, all of that led to the way he was perceived. And that was the way